Awesome. And I wanted to illustrate something about this. That's the star Betelgeuse. That's Bellatrix. That one is Cygnus, and the other is Rigel. These are the main stars that that provide the formation of this constellation called Orion. It's one of the most clear and obvious constellations in the sky. But I also wanted to show you another star that you probably have never heard of that is in this constellation. And let's see, we'll go down here. That star right there is called Eunoia. Eunoia is a Greek term, and the reason I show you this is because this name is in the original Greek text of the passage that we're looking at today. And it figures prominently in the application of our lesson, because it is not having to do with rebellion in any sense. It has to do with something that God has intended and even commanded. And so that's the one we want to pay attention to today, and it's Eunoia. Let's look at the passage of Scripture that we're looking at here. And this is from 1 Corinthians 7. And trying to think of the verse numbers. One through nine. Difficult to remember, I know. But this is that passage, and this is from the English Standard Version. Now concerning the matters about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. This is, they had written about this to Paul and asked, is it good for a man not to have relations with a woman? And he goes on, Paul says in answer, because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights. That is eunoia. Likewise, the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have authority The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Seem unfair? Follow along. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer. But then come together again, so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. The passage before us. This follows right through with what Jay was talking about last Sunday. In fact, the last three sermons have come right in the flow of this. And we'll look at one of those passages and what it really means in the context of our application today. But last week we were talking about relations, intimate relationships outside of God's prescribed means. Today we're looking at it in terms of God's prescription. So the answer, is it good to avoid intimate relations? We learned last week from chapter 6, verse 18, to flee immorality. Now, this word for immorality here, that's usually translated the English word fornication or something like that, but the Greek word is porneia. The words you may be thinking of comes from this term. And it is a stirring up of intimacy with someone other than your married spouse. So we are told to flee immorality, flee porneia, because we are to flee unauthorized intimacy. This was the lesson from last week, of course, that Jay ably brought to us. Flee porneia. unauthorized fire destroys. And I want to illustrate this with an incident that took place in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. I do too have it up here. Ah, good. Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer, that is a place where incense is put on it to burn incense before the Lord, took his censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord. It is thought that the unauthorized fire was that they were being creative, that they wanted to insert some of their preferences of the scent that would be given off by this incense. And maybe they had a preference of their own that they wanted to have more of. So they changed the recipe for the incense that God had actually given them. And this is the incense that they brought to before the Lord. And because they had injected themselves into this or their own preference, it was an unauthorized fire before the Lord, which the Lord had not commanded them. Fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. This is an unauthorized fire, and the Lord brought fire and burned them, destroyed them. And then Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord has said." Now notice these two were Aaron's sons. "This is what the Lord has said, among those who are near me, I will be sanctified, and before all the people, I will be glorified." And as a result of this, Aaron was never to mourn the death of those boys. It was an affront to what God had established. There was a rebellion that was taking place. There was an unauthorized fire that was offered to the Lord. Unauthorized is the term. So what is unauthorized? What is it? Well, we see in the context of this passage in 1 Corinthians that what is unauthorized is revealed in chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And of this we read, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." These are the unauthorized demonstrations and participations in things that there is an authorized place. And in rebellion against the authorized version of what God has established, there is the unauthorized that will bring about the judgment of God. We also see a list similar to this in Galatians chapter 5. In verse 19 through 22, we read this. "Now the deeds of the flesh," I want to pause here just a moment, because when we were talking throughout this book of 1 Corinthians, it is the word carnal in some of the translations. They were a carnal people. They were pursuing their own preferences. They were pursuing their own desires, their own passions, instead of what God told them. And the things that were naturally occurring to them, because they had this natural desires for things, they were majoring on those desires and getting them completely out of balance with what the Lord was telling them. In fact, some of the issues that are being dealt with by this church, by Paul in this letter, is gluttony is going to be a part of this. And that takes place. We see that addressed in chapter 11. We also see them taking each other to court rather than trusting the wisdom of God in their midst to handle difficulties. And in this case, there was in chapter 5, there was this man who was living in sin with his mother-in-law and or stepmother, and it was something that was not even allowed in pagan society at that time, and yet they were allowing this to go on without reprimand as a church. So the apostle is addressing some of these things, that their carnality, They're fleshly. That's what the word carnal means, a fleshly sarx. The flesh was driving them to pursue things that were maybe a bodily desire that they had, but it wasn't in accordance with the scriptures. It wasn't in accordance with the purpose that God gave for that. And so he is addressing this. And in Galatians chapter 5, we have the same idea, that the deeds of the flesh, the carnal deeds, are evident, which are immorality. There is porneia again. Impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. These were big problems, issues that were very significant. Now, I hasten to mention that in the list in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, a list of all of these different things, Paul also wrote to them, such were some of you. When you came to understand your need for salvation and forgiveness of sins and eternal life given through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, through his death and resurrection, before you came to that place, this is where you were. This is your circumstance. Such were some of you, because you were in this position where you were in such jeopardy. But God has intervened. God has restored. And it says you have been washed. You have been sanctified. You have been cleansed. You have been redeemed. You have been changed from that by the presence of God, by faith in the Lord Jesus. Just as unauthorized fire claimed the lives of Nadab and Abihu that we've read, they were authorized to offer incense before God. That was part of their job. But they were not authorized to offer their own preferences rather than what God demanded. They were not supposed to substitute their own preferences for what God demanded. In a way, probably Cain did that rather than following the prescription of his brother Abel. And Cain became a murderer as a result of his response. Nadab and Abihu, in blending their own recipe, they were burned. Proverbs chapter 5 gives a very interesting thing, and I don't have that up here, but it speaks of the results of an unauthorized pursuit of intimate pleasure. And the whole chapter actually is warning. Solomon is warning his son about frequenting prostitution and immorality. And at the very end of this, and he speaks a great deal about it, and the biggest problem with it is that the prostitute is not the owner, making it unauthorized. And in the conclusion of this, in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 11, it says this. Ultimately, it says, and you groan at your final end when your flesh and your body are consumed. It leads to judgment. It leads to disaster, this unauthorized pursuit of intimate pleasure. Why is it so completely vile to commit someone to unauthorized moral behaviors? There are expressions that are intended to do just that. Probably the most vile things that can come out of a human mouth is to commit someone to an unauthorized moral behavior. And that's because it carries a condemnation to hell's fire. we're not even to say it. If you have other questions about that, you can talk to me afterwards. So what is unauthorized and what is authorized in intimacy? Godly marriage is authorized. Now it seems we have to define this too. What God has authorized in human relationships, and it's the epitome of love in human relationships, in marriage. Godly marriage, and I'm not saying this is marriage apart from what God commanded, but in compliance with what God said. Marriage is between a man and a woman, and yet even that has been blown out in our culture in many ways. Nowadays, it's probably legal to be married to your lawnmower. I did read about one man was getting a divorce from his mechanical wife. And the Lord, God's word speaks to all of these things. It's not a matter of a homosexual union. That's condemned in scriptures in many different ways, many different places. There are some places, if I were to say that, which I guess I just did, I could be in trouble. Some might say that I'm committing a hate crime by saying what God said. But it's out of love for people that I say it, that there is a remedy for that, for those perversions. And when I say godly marriage, it is not simply because it's legal nowadays. It is because it complies with what God said. So godly marriage is an authorized pursuit of intimacy. Anything else is unauthorized. If marriage has not occurred, intimacy is unauthorized. If marriage has occurred and intimacy takes place outside of that bond, it is unauthorized. I guess what I'm wanting us to see is the correlation between the incense, the unauthorized incense, and the unauthorized pursuit of intimacy. So the question that was asked by the Corinthians to Paul was, so is it good to avoid intimate relations? So what would you say? In a way, yes. Because all of these perversions come out of a pursuit of intimate relations, and not all of them are authorized. So the avoidance, we must avoid the unauthorized relations. That's the point. It isn't that there is no purpose for intimate relationship. God created that. It is God's intent that people marry and have relations, and it is one of the greatest. In my mind, it epitomizes loving relationships. But apart from a God-ordained marriage, sexual pursuits are immoral, sin, a perversion of what God intended, and we are to flee them, just as chapter 6, verse 18 says. So there's four words that will really help us. If we understand what the words and what they mean, and I hope we can now, and that is flee porneia, pursue eunoia. Porneia is fornication. That's the unauthorized pursuit of marital intimacy. Pursuinoia is the pursuit within the framework of God's design, within marriage. It seems as if our culture has mixed these up, where porneia is pursued, in fact, commanded by our culture, almost, and eunoia is denied. It is... And yet, there is this. You remember the passage in of the deeds of the flesh that we read in Galatians chapter 5? I want to read the next part. Because the next part is an authorization and the impact of the authorized loving relationships that we have with God and with one another. And I'm thinking in relation to marital relationships, the intimacy in our marriages, we have the prospect of something amazing to take place. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Now, as we read this, think of these terms, think of this in terms of what our intimacy produces. Culturally and biblically, the porneia, this is not the result of the porneia, the immorality. That produces none of this, or a counterfeit of this. And our culture is replete with exhibitions and songs that are written to glorify the wrong thing, the opposite, to glorify this unauthorized relationships. The fruit of the Spirit seems vacant in our culture. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And that's what eunoia ought to be. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. And that's what eunoia should produce. Porneia can't. Eunoia does. Peace. That just jumps off the page when you compare what porneia does and what eunoia does. Patience. These perspectives are antithesis of each other. In fact, the passage in Galatians 5 says that there's a war going on between the things of the Spirit and the things of the flesh. And it's exactly what's taking place in this particular area of marital intimacy. Patience. Which develops patience? It's this loving and authorized version of what love is, of what God has intended by this union of people, according to His design. Kindness. I've got a song going through my head right now that was it was popular back in the... This will maybe give you a hint as my age, I guess. Back a number of decades ago, there's this really popular song that was on the radio stations, and if you had the radio on, you couldn't avoid it. And there was very little to it. It was just a repeat of this one little phrase: "Baby, I'm going to make you mine." Do you remember that song, any of you? You're not as old as I am, probably. And that was the whole thing, the whole song. "Baby, I'm going to make you mine." It just doesn't seem very profound. And it's just downright defilement now, it seems. Where's kindness? Where is kindness in our culture? How about goodness? Where is goodness in our culture? Our culture sees things that sees evil as good. It's just opposite now, it seems. How about faithfulness? How about gentleness? Another term for gentleness is tenderness. Lost, it seems. Self-control. It's not about self-control. We're not even teaching self-control. Our culture is trying to provide safety while we're out of control. And then this phrase, and this ends this verse in verse 23, against such things there is no law. Do you know of a law against that list, those nine? Is there a law against being kind? In Paul's day, there was apparently no law against it. It doesn't violate what God said. These are wholesome things, and yet they are forgotten. They're butchered in our culture. They're sacrificed in our culture for some physical or emotional feeling, so something that intrudes into this, into the peace, and all of these things that God wants us to develop and maintain in our life, and our culture is working against it. It seems intentional, and I believe it is. Pursue divine blessings by obedient, authorized relations. It's our admonition today. We, and our culture tells us, and it just screams at us, your body, your choice. It's not what this says. Do whatever you want. And nobody is going to be allowed to say you are wrong. In fact, not only are they not going to say it, we are going to make them say it's right. What a perverse version. So much for civilization. Pursue divine blessings as are included in this passage. By obedient, authorized relations. Do not deprive one another. That's here too, isn't it? We do not deprive one another. And this is actually addressed to this issue within marriage. Don't deprive one another of this blessing that God has commanded us to share with one another in marriage. Eunoia. Depriving one another can take various weird forms. In other words, do not manipulate another for your own uses. This is not a bargaining chip, either in a relation, in a marriage relationship or in culture. Don't withhold the means of blessing for God's people by pursuing unauthorized devices or withholding authorized ones. I'm going to read that one again. Do not withhold means of blessings for God's people by pursuing unauthorized devices or withholding authorized ones. And yet, the passage continues. And so, is there any time when there's a value in not pursuing eunoia? Well, it's mentioned in the passage. There is a pause in eunoia for higher priorities, which tells us a couple of things. Not only is eunoia very high in priority, But there is a time and a place for another priority that is higher. And this is a time to be restored with intimacy with God. A pause, a reflection, a discipline, a time when there's a fallout in our relationship and our intimacy with God. And so that's most important. And so we can lay aside, we can set aside, and it is set aside for a specific reason and for a specific short time in the passage. Because it says, come together again. In order for us to maintain a relationship, an intimate relationship with God. And it makes sense, doesn't it, that this intimate relationship with God would be the precedent for a relationship in our marriages. Because he's the one that authored it all. So to maintain a relationship with God is to maintain a proper view of our relationship with our spouse. It guards us against injecting our own preferences into this relationship, our own perversions, our own insistence, our own unauthorized approach into that relationship. It's by agreement for a while, for a specified length of time. And then they come together again. Euoia is resumed. Because the relationship with God, the intimacy with God is restored. And then that is to prevent Satan's temptation against us for our lack of self-control. We come together again so that we are not falling into Satan's temptation. One other thing, I'll mention it quickly. We flee porneia. When do we forego euoia? Well, we talked a little bit about that. But there are some that will forego euoia for all of their lives. And that's mentioned in the passage. And that is the gift of singleness. It is a God-ordained self-control. And with the gift of singleness comes the blessing of receiving that intimacy with God that would ordinarily be shared with a spouse, a married spouse. And yet, even in that case, Paul writes to them, it's better to marry than to burn with lust, with an unauthorized application of desire. Is this clear? So the lessons in love's abiding. Know what to flee, what to pursue, and then do it. I believe that's what Paul is teaching these Corinthians who had messed it up big time. Believers, they needed restoration. Do we? I trust that we find the fulfillment that Paul is asking God to give to these Corinthians. May we thrive in this area. May our euoia thrive. And may the fruit of the Spirit be a result of our obedience. Pray with me, please. Father in heaven, we are surrounded and almost saturated in our culture with the violation of these things that you have, by the inspiration of your Spirit through the Apostle Paul, written to these Corinthians. I pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts, that we would not only see with our mind the logic and reason of this, but that we would see in our heart the necessity of our obedience to you. I pray, Lord, that in our marriages, they would be filled with the eunoia of your great spirit. The fruit, the results in our lives would tell the story of the wholesome, authorized pursuit of the passions with which you have created us. I pray, Lord, that you would guide us in our culture, that you would turn us from the hate-filled, consumed perversions that we see so prevalent in our culture. I pray that you would have control, you would regain control, and that you would step in to prevent the progression to such degradation. I pray that we would testify by our life, by our words, our actions, the truth of these matters, for there is so much at stake by it. Fulfill this grace in us by the power of the Holy Spirit, in virtue of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus to produce it. In his name we pray, amen.